You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. Entering Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen is not for the faint of heart. Chefs are feeling the heat of the cameras, the pressure of completing a service, and the possibility of being on the receiving end of one of Ramsay's tirades.
This is Hell's Kitchen, head chefs only. Blue team, come in.
It's the first time we've had really established chefs in Hell's Kitchen. Chef Anthony is another one of our younger competitors.
Where is the passion?
We'll bounce back, chef.
Bounce back. Get out.
The chef Anthony mentioned in that clip is Anthony Vo, the executive chef of Sonrisa Senior Living, who competed in the newest season of Hell's Kitchen, which premieres tonight on Fox. Anthony joins us now to talk about what it was like to cook for Chef Ramsay and the culinary journey, which began in Citrus Heights. Anthony, welcome to Insight.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure being here right now.
To start off, let's introduce you a little bit to our audience. Where did your passion for cooking come from?
My passion from cooking came from my grandma. She always had me in the kitchen with my aunts and with my cousins, always creating pho dishes, Vietnamese bánh xèo dishes, and just a lot of fresh herbs, fresh ingredients. So it started off when I was a kid and just progressively carried on more and more I got older.
And tell me what that mean to you. What influence did your grandparents and your multicultural upbringing have on your life and career?
It influenced everything. I didn't have parents growing up, so my grandparents, you know, stepped in, took that role. And instead of having me in a lot of sports like normal kids or, you know, in programs, I was always in the kitchen. I was always helping her prep food for either work or I was in the restaurant. So I kind of learned quickly how kitchens worked, ran, and the things that made it tick. And I quickly fell in love with it. That was my way of creating, my way of escaping pain, and my way of just staying off the streets and just putting my head down and just working.
So your earliest memories are in the kitchen. So your appreciation for food like almost came from the cradle, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, my first ever memory was me holding a wicker basket of fresh herbs. And then my great grandmother was picking red chilies and I tried to help her and she hit me with a backhand. So that was honestly my first memory. And that was a memory me and my grandma talked about all the time of me always trying to pick peppers and me getting hit with a backhand at like 4 or 3 years old. So since then, I always knew I had an interest of food. I just never knew it was going to progress into something beautiful like this.
And it sounds like strict parenting. Also, you were kind of used to that pressure cooker that is cooking in professional kitchens and then finally on reality TV.
Yeah, Grandma had a lot of expectations for me growing up. She held me to a very certain standard. There were times I didn't meet that standard, of course. I wanted to do my own thing, but ultimately I understood what she really meant. And like I said, growing up in Sacramento, there's so many different multicultural, you know, cuisines out here. I quickly picked up, you know, Indian, how it works with Asian. And, you know, luckily the chefs out here are great too. And working with a lot of great chefs, picked up a lot of great tips and brought that home with grandma. She didn't always like it, but, you know, she understood what I was trying to get to at that point.
You were experimenting. And so you didn't go to culinary school. It sounds like you were sort of almost learning this on the streets.
Yeah, no, I had a scholarship from San Juan High School for culinary, but things in life happen. I had to kind of stay back and take care of my grandparents for Alzheimer's and dementia. So I lost that opportunity, but I gained better opportunities connecting with really great chefs in town. They took me underneath their wing and I'm forever blessed by that.
Let's talk about some of those challenges. So you kind of mentioned it, but you did experience some unique hardship and challenges and have throughout your life. Can you talk a little about that and how these experiences have shaped you?
Yeah. You know, just starting off my life, not having the parent situation, growing up in group homes with my grandma, having her take me out. And then, you know, growing up always wondering who I was, where I belong, and finally turning, you know, 21 as an adult, getting hit with stage 3 oral cancer, just kind of put me down for a downward spiral. Here I am, first year in as the executive chef, and I can't taste anything. I lost my palate, had 3 botched surgeries, and honestly, I didn't know if I wanted to cook again. One of my chef mentors pulled me aside, and he sat me down at that table, and you know, he reached out, and he gave me an opportunity to go underneath his wing, and I did, but I didn't know if this is what I still wanted. The pain was too deep. Grandma's sick, I'm sick. what's the point of cooking still? And I'm so happy I stuck with it, stuck with my mentor, and just continued learning.
So that sounds terrifying. I mean, it's like, it almost evokes like Beethoven losing his hearing, you know, like the thing that you cherish most, you don't know if you're going to have it. And I'm curious, what was the role of food and cooking food, you know, through this ordeal?
So during this ordeal, I'm going to chemo. I'm still doing radiology, and I'm doing this before work. So before my shift, I'm already having chemicals in my system. I can't really taste, and food still is one of the only things bringing happiness to me. Cooking nights at a restaurant as just a normal cook is bringing happiness to me. And the doctors are saying I can never taste again. And you know what? I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to continue doing what I do. And if I can't, I'll find another career. But 2 years later, in some blessing way, my taste came back slowly. Started off 60%. Now we're at 95%. And I've just been thankful ever since that.
You're listening to Insight here on Camp Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Sacramento chef Anthony Vo, a competitor on season 23 of the reality cooking show Hell's Kitchen. So let's get into that. You competed on this recent season of Hell's Kitchen, which premieres tonight. How did you get connected with the show?
Oh, man. I remember this day like it was yesterday. I still have a sticky note on my desk. It was around 11:30. I was sitting at home, super stressed out off of, you know, just life. And Ethan E-Money just randomly contacted me on LinkedIn saying, hey, you'll be a great fit for Hell's Kitchen. Mind you this, I just applied for Next Level Chef and, you know, I didn't get approved. So in my head, you're a random dude messaging me. I didn't apply. And you're telling me I'll be a great fit for the biggest show on Fox for food? Yeah. And Gordon Ramsay, you're lying to me. Whatever. So I gave it 2 hours and then I was like, okay, let me message him back. Messaged him back, and I kid you not, within 24 hours, I'm sitting there meeting CEOs of the show, producers. They're telling me all these steps I have to do. 2 weeks later, I'm on a plane flying to Connecticut. We're going to film the show.
Do you have any sense of how these guys discovered you? Were you building a reputation in town?
Yeah, I recently worked a pop-up with two other chefs, and, you know, we recently had a couple of news clips that I've done, and so my reputation was slowly building, but I didn't think it was building to the point that I was going to, you know, catch the attention of Gordon Ramsay or Hell's Kitchen. I'm a small-town kid from Sacramento. I never really thought I was ever going to be on that stage of standing, you know, toe-to-toe with Gordon Ramsay talking food ideas. That's just something I never really had in my mind at that time.
And what was your impression of him and the show before?
Before the show, he's mean. You know, he's a typical chef. I don't know if I'll be able to, you know, work on the line with him screaming down my back or not. So, you know, I thought like that since I was five. I mean, I've watched him as a kid, and he's had that same energy as a kid. I'm going to yell. I want my standards my way, and it's not your way, it's my way. It's, you know, I respect that.
But you mentioned typical. I mean, he's kind of an amplified version, but like some version of that had been in your work experience, it sounds like.
Yeah, some versions of that. I mean, you know, you go to some places, especially back in the day, you know, that yeller, throw, scream kitchen was real. But nowadays, a lot of, you know, chefs, especially the chefs leading the wave, you know, we have a lot more empathy and, you know, we understand more, you know. Mental health in the chef world is very, very crucial. So why, you know, be that stressful chef at work when you can, you know, create beautiful plates with your team and really build your team to a stronger, you know, strong ship.
So you've seen a change in culture throughout your career?
100%. It used to be a lot more, I want it this way, now more to a lot more understanding. I'll train you, I'll coach you, and I'll be that true coach that, you know, a lot of younger chefs and cooks are looking for.
And it sounds like that's what you want to do.
And that's exactly what I want to do. I want to create. I recently have a pop-up coming up pretty soon with a local chef. It's going to be called Otis and Three. It's going to be in East Sacramento, so stay tuned for that. We're bringing a small taste of fine dining to Sunday supper, so it's going to be something unique for Sacramento, and we can't wait to create.
That sounds really exciting.
Yep.
So let's bring it back to Hell's Kitchen. You step on that set. Can you paint a scene for us?
Oh, man. At first, the scene on Hell's Kitchen is I'm on a boat. I'm in a boat in the middle of the water, with gunships, Navy floating down the river, and I don't know what to expect. You know, they dock us, and then right when they dock us, we're meeting the whole Hell's Kitchen team, and it's just so surreal. There's fireworks going off. You know, there's cameras everywhere. It's just one of those things that, you know, you replay in your head and you still pinch yourself because you still don't believe that you finally made it.
And what was going on in your head at that time?
I'm going to pass out. I'm going to faint. I need to breathe now. If I don't breathe, I'm literally going to fall and I'm going to pass out.
What was it like working alongside Gordon Ramsay, the celebrity chef who's famous for that temper we've been talking about?
It's still unreal. I think back to all the lessons he gave me, and Chef Gordon is a machine. He is a machine and a half, and I've never seen someone cook halibut so quick and precise, or I've never seen someone butcher anything so precise, and just his steps and his training back in France, it does show, and he teaches you that every single day on set with him, and it's just something that I'm going to hold on and take back to Sacramento.
So it sounds like a takeaway is some of his style, but what else was your takeaway? What did he teach you?
How to manage life. He had a hard background similar to mine too. And, you know, a lot of the conversations was, you know, how to navigate life, how to put aside the distractions, how to manage your team, and, you know, how to just manage your day to day as a chef, as a family man. He's a huge family man. That's something a lot of the shows kind of doesn't show about him, but he, huge family man, always talks about his kids. And that's something I took away of, you know, the chef field is demanding 18 hours a day on your feet. And sometimes our families are on the back burner. And that's something he told me of, really putting forth that effort into family time, you know, the family man aspect, having hobbies outside of work that's not food related. So that's something I took away from the show, the outside of food, of just better self-care and, you know, love for myself.
And I gather that this value on family is really resonated with you.
Yes.
And given that you didn't have a conventional upbringing with mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, family is huge. Grandma's core value was, you know, family is everything, and family who I deem to me is everything. So, I mean, and Gordon kind of doubled down on that. You know, without family, you're who are you? You know, everyone needs a support system, and family isn't always blood. You know, family is sometimes friends that have been around you for 10 years that could check up on you more than your own family. And that's one of the core values that I'm taking away from the show, along with so many other things.
And how much does that emotion come through in your cooking?
Man, if you can tell when I'm having a sentimental day, because sometimes my plate are a little bit more creative than others. And then sometimes when I'm having a little off day, I try not to, you know, have that affect my food, but you could tell. There's some times where I have a little bit of extra flair, or it's a little bit extra spicy, because that's my mood of the day. So my emotions, I try not to let it affect my food, but that's what I drive when I cook, is my emotions, because that's how I create. It's like an artist painting, you know. They're painting their emotions in their head, and I'm a chef. I'm cooking my emotions just on a plate.
So let's talk about who is really important to you. You mentioned that family is not always blood. The new season of Hell's Kitchen premieres this evening. Who do you plan to watch it with? Or are you going to watch it?
I don't know. I've been 50-50. I've been talking to a couple of my buddies. I don't know if I'm going to have an anxiety attack and hide, or I'm going to surround myself with friends and family and, you know, actually enjoy this moment. This opportunity only comes once, especially a premiere. And I'm probably going to surround myself with really good quality friends and family and enjoy their company.
So let's talk about where you work now, Sunrisa Senior Living. How is cooking in a senior living center similar to working in a restaurant kitchen? How's it different?
Oh, it's different in every aspect. You know, senior living, we have to really monitor diets, and we have to control, you know, a lot of specifications. Sometimes one of our seniors can't have too much salt, or they're diabetic and they're gluten-free. So it's just really, you know, breaking down their diets and putting forth the best meal that we can. Luckily, we have a lot of great vendors that we work with. We get fresh produce in, and we utilize that. And we try to create what a restaurant can just for senior living. Now, in a restaurant, there is no limitations. You can kind of cook anything you want as the chef makes the menu. There's no salt limitation. Of course, you have your vegan specials and all that. But in senior living, you have to really specify there's no salt. There's no added in sugars. You have to have gluten-free that's separated for your allium allergy. So senior living is a lot more tactical in sense, but it's a lot more joyful to me.
Why is that?
Because, you know, in restaurants, I don't really get to see my customer. You can come in, you eat a ribeye. Oh, cool. Send my thanks to the chef. Where here, you know, if Jane eats that ribeye and it's great, Jane's walking up to my door and she's going to ask for me because she lives there and she's going to give me her 2 cents, good or bad, and she's going to walk away. And that's every day. And I love it. I love hearing their responses because, like I said, they live here 365 days a year. I feed them 3 times a day plus a snack. If I don't nail their meals every day, it's going to be an uproar. So that's the biggest difference between restaurant and senior living. I kind of have to make sure every meal is perfect at every single time.
My sense is that a lot of chefs would not want that much limitation on their craft, but I'm hearing you, and it's almost like you feel like it's one more challenge for you to enjoy overcoming.
Yeah, I love challenges. I love to compete, and, you know, why not? Senior living chefs get a bad rep, and I'm here to change that. I've been working hard for the last 12 years to really transform what people think of senior living food. We can compete with really good restaurants in Sacramento as well. It's just people opening up their eyes and giving us the opportunity. Come in and have a meal with your loved ones. Why take them out? Have that meal at a cheaper price. And who knows, you might like this more than the restaurant plate you've been eating for the last 10 years.
Do you feel like you're a pioneer in this space? Are there other chefs and senior centers that are trying to raise this craft to an art?
I can't say I'm the pioneer or I'm the first one to take this lead. There's been a lot of other chefs before me that have honestly laid down the blueprint of what to do, how to do. And lucky right now, I'm mentored up and I'm teamed up with a really killer chef, and me and him are grabbing the bulls by the horn and we're taking charge. We're here to be, you know, the lead face in Roseville. And we've been at that mission for the last year.
It's been a great conversation. I want to end with just, what would you say to a young chef who's just coming up and trying to figure out this crazy dream into career? Maybe they're struggling with something and they feel kind of isolated. Like, what would you say to that person?
Stay true to you. Know what you want. And just remember, in service, don't take anything personal. I spent 10 years in really hard kitchens, and not once did I ever take anything personal. At the end of the day, the product matters. The chef needs his food out. The sous needs his food out. And just stay grounded, stay humble. You know, you're going to find your way as long as you stay true to yourself.
Anthony, I get the sense that lots of people are going to be watching you and seeing how your career progresses. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me in Sactown. You know, let's get behind me. I'm doing this for you guys, so let's go Sacramento.
Anthony Vo is a chef of Sunrisa Senior Living and a competitor on the latest season of the cooking show Hell's Kitchen, which premieres tonight on Fox. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Alan Young. We're back in just a moment.